Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Walker met by Shattuck. Oh, what a move by Walker. Breaking ankles. Phil knocks it down.
Well, if you want to be a good team, you got to beat other good teams. We're realistic that we have a lot to work on, and that's a good thing.
Dale Arnold.
Robert Kraft has continued to say, you know, he wants Tom to experience this, but I'm not sure football operations feels the same way. I'm sure they want to know who their quarterback is going to be before you head into free agency.
Rich Keefe.
You know, that this didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Guys don't get suspended for something that didn't impact the game.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Just to go roof daddy.
Okity dokity clokity.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
There's nothing better than a good open that includes Andy Hart sounding like a fool.
Boss, any open that he's in.
Is there any other kind?
There you go. He's ready to go. It's a Friday.
Whatever.
You're damn right.
Whatever it takes. So I was watching the Celtics last night, as we all were.
What a game.
Watching, I mean, as you said on Twitter at one point last night, the Celtics are going to retire Jason Tatum's number tonight.
It was topical, wasn't it? It was a topical joke.
Look at you.
He was so good in that game. There was a stretch, end of the third quarter, he dunked on the entire Clippers, and then the next possession drains a three right in front of their bench. And you're like, that just kind of summed up him as an offensive player right now. He's so confident, and he could score a million different ways. That's why you got the Paul Pierce comparisons when he first came into the league.
Right, but
and
now they're apt.
Now
see,
they
that's what I like, is he's now actually living up to the anointing that he got like 2 years ago.
Doc Rivers was gushing about him post-game.
So
he said, can you imagine how good this kid's going to be in a couple of years?
And the 76ers picked Markelle Fultz over Jason
that was a good
Tatum.
Plan,
can you imagine if they had Simmons, Tatum,
guy who
and Embiid?
Couldn't shoot a basketball.
Nope. And he's not even on their team anymore. And he pushes the ball, and he's not even on the team.
What are you shot putter?
But Tatum was so good. I know Kemba Walker after the game said he was the best player on the floor, and it's true. And that was the game in which Kawhi Leonard played. Now, Kawhi Leonard's the best player, but in the game last night, Jason Tatum was dominant. He was so good, and it was fun to watch. And that's what gives you hope that this team could be dangerous. Because, by the way, Jaylen Brown didn't play.
Right.
And I know Paul George got hurt and only played whatever it was, like 15 minutes, so he wasn't a factor. But still, that's a good Clippers team. And if you see Tatum and Kemba Walker, they can score late in games. And as long as everybody else is able to chip in just a little bit, they're going to be a real dangerous team.
Was fun. And then the Celtics made their announcement, which was really well done. They're really good at this.
Out of nowhere.
I mean, there was no, it's like bringing John Cena back, but not promoting ahead of time that he's going to come back.
Yes, Dale, it's exactly like that.
You got to get some promotional value out of it.
The game was so good, and then the Kevin Garnett announcement, like, that's great for fans, but why did they have to be together? It's the Clippers. It's the only time Kawhi Leonard plays in Boston all year. Well, couldn't it have been about that? Like, Celtics-Clippers was enough for me.
Now,
I didn't
the
need
video
this
was,
in there.
They did a great job
on
the
video. Well, they
always do. You know, the music.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of, you know, talking, let's go, and stuff like that.
But, like, would you have done it last night?
No.
Me neither.
Didn't really understand. There's no connection.
Would you do it at all?
So that's another whole question.
That's the bigger question.
That is a bigger
easy
question.
Yes.
We were talking, about this, ironically, a couple of days ago, about the number of retired numbers. The Celtics have retired 23 numbers plus Lasky. He reportedly did not want his number 18 retired.
You can't be named Lasky on the team now?
he didn't want his number 18 retired. He wanted players to be able to wear it, and then they ended up retiring it anyway.
Right.
So they've retired 23 numbers so far.
So what I think would be a really nice ceremony is an unretirement. You bring down a whole bunch of numbers.
Like Dennis Johnson, for instance.
Well, no, not Dennis. Let's go with some of the guys who are alive, and you can have a ceremony. You can say, hey, we're going to reissue your number. So you really don't deserve to be there in the first place. So, like, a Don Nelson, come on down. And then we hand it out to somebody else.
So if you're dead, you get to keep it retired?
Yeah, because I don't want to go there. Okay. I don't want to go there. Unless the family's okay with it. Unless the family signs off on it.
Yeah, but how do you find out if they're okay with it? You have to ask.
Yeah, you do.
Can we unretire this?
No, just kidding. We didn't want to do that anyway. The retiring of the jerseys with the Celtics is very similar to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, where
too many.
They've already let everybody in, and they've already set that standard that you're in. There was a debate we had on the TV in here. One of the ESPN shows was saying the other day, is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer? You're like, yeah, he is. Based on who's in? No yeah, question. He is. Like,
so the headline basically is Rich Keefe thinks Ed McCauley's number 22 should be put back in service.
Bring it down. If everybody wants. Yeah, yes. And it's a nice moment, and you can put a highlight
but
package
why?
Of his. Because
you don't need him yet. We just talked about this off air because this is an issue at Gillette. Where football, you need 60-plus numbers in any given year. So if you're already, 23 numbers in, you're cutting it close.
It should be a very small
But it
group.
Isn't.
In all honesty, for the Celtics, it should be Russell, Cousy, Havlicek, Bird, maybe McHale and Pierce. Like, that's probably it. And everybody else, you had a hell of a career. We'll remember you. You won a bunch of rings and whatever else. Because that is a significant honor. Like, nobody can wear your number anymore. And the fact that, and I know
Robert Parrish shouldn't be up there.
No.
Zero shouldn't be up there.
I think it should be very select.
Do you make a special exception for Reggie Lewis? Under the circumstances,
no.
I mean, that's why they retired number 35.
No, I wouldn't do it. Again.
And by the way, that's why the Red Sox did it with Johnny Pesky as well.
And I think you can honor them in other ways. It doesn't have to be nobody can wear 35 anymore, but that doesn't mean you don't have somewhere in the TD Garden a place dedicated to Reggie Lewis or something along those lines.
But that's actually the way they do it now with the great players, right? You not only get your number retired, you get a street or
you get a statue.
Or you get whatever it may be. I just think the bottom line is, as I look up at Get Up with Christian Fourier's face and a quote, I believe the Patriots are 100%
awesome.
Tremendous.
Yep.
The cat's out of the bag, right?
And that's why
Paste is out of the tube.
If you take everybody who's up there, and again, isn't that kind of saying something where you could be a diehard Celtics fan, and unless you're 75 years old, if you ask anybody, hey, name as many guys that are up there. You said 23 numbers are up there? Name them.
Well, 23 numbers plus Lasky.
You'd get 10, wouldn't you?
Probably.
And it's not like, well, some of those guys played before your time. What, like Russell and Cousy?
Right.
I know those guys. It should be dedicated to that, and I'm not trying to rip the other guys that don't belong, but
Cedric Maxwell shouldn't be up there.
No. Absolutely not.
It's a lot like the Eli Manning thing we had for a while. If you have any arguments against him being in the Hall, then he's not a Hall of Famer.
Right.
It should be automatic. If there's an Is there any person on the planet who would argue against Tom Brady having his number retired?
No.
Larry Bird?
That was pretty obvious.
Bobby Orr?
Right. No.
Right. It is. It's done.
And that's what...
At whatever point somebody argues, you go, okay, so he just gets Ring of Honor or whatever the next tier down.
Something else, and they could do that, but I just think the number thing...
But it doesn't
unless you
matter.
Are going to unretire him, which you're not going to do.
So therefore, Kevin Garnett should be retired.
Yes, because if you ranked all 23 guys, and I'm sure some websites have done this, like the most impactful or the most deserving, Kevin Garnett, off the top of my head, would probably be in the top 10 or 12. Or I don't know, whatever. But he would be above a bunch of those guys. Is my point.
Now,
some of those guys that averaged 8 points a game, and they were the fifth or sixth guy on a team that won 1,000 rings back when the league was completely different, is different than Kevin Garnett, who played here for 6 years, won an NBA title, was All NBA first team, which not many Celtics were in the history of the team. He was Defensive Player of the Year. He was 3 times All Defense. He was a 5-time All Star over that stretch. They made the playoffs every single year. Like,
he never let anybody shoot after a timeout was called.
He set a tone,
and I say that half jokingly.
Yeah, no, but he has a really good case.
The culture, the tone of a championship organization for that stretch.
Yeah.
He was the centerpiece of it. With all respect to Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce was a lot of things, but it took Garnett to come in for them to become champions. So I think he deserves credit for that. And
look,
I actually
don't
think...
He was here for 6 years. He was an all-star, 5 of them. He was a Defensive Player of the Year. What he did on the court was great. It was 6 years.
6 years.
So you believe there's a... What's the line? 8 years? 10 years?
I don't know. There isn't a delineation. It's the same way I said Dennis Johnson. He didn't get here until he was, 29? I don't think his number should be up there either. I'll give credit to the Toronto Maple Leafs in this regard. They have the system that I think every franchise should go with. They have what they call honored numbers. And they hang the number up in the rafters and the banner and the player. But somebody still wears the number.
You can wear the number.
Right. And you get a patch on your sweater. Mm-hmm. If you're wearing Borja Salming's number, you get a patch on your sweater that says, this is an honored number. This, you should be very proud that you're wearing this number.
What if you're
That's
great,
That's the
too?
Way to do it.
Does the next person get a double patch if you're great?
Yes.
They actually have retired numbers for have honored numbers for like two different players.
Yeah. Okay.
Something yeah, like I that. Mean, that's a little, that's like the ring of honor that a lot of these football teams have where they're not retired. But you look around that whole ring of the stadium and the numbers there and the years or whatever. I just said to Rich, I liked the old Red Sox way of career Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Oh, they had very specific rules.
But loved
but
it,
see, which why they I don't, then broke.
But why I don't? Oh, like yeah, it, and they should
David
break
Ortiz.
It gone.
David Ortiz is not in the Hall of Fame, like, but me, his numbers up.
And, yeah, I don't like that.
And he also played on another team. And same with Pedro. Like Pedro played for another team. Couple other teams, right? If you take his whole career, not just before he got here, and he played for several teams.
And but Fisk, they gave him this phony baloney job with the organization. Because so they could say, oh, well, he's finished his career here, too, so he abides by the rules.
I don't like that, though.
The modern athlete plays for different teams. It's just the reality. I mean, we've been talking about it for months. Tom frickin' Brady could play
for
a different team.
Yeah, you might.
So you have to have some room. The perfect example is Adam Vinatieri. To me, Adam Vinatieri is a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
He is a two-team Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He's actually played more time with the Colts now than with the Patriots. Won rings with both.
Right.
Like, it's almost hard to envision, but that's what he is. He's a dual-career guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's probably more reality in this day and age. So I don't know that you could go to the old school, you played for us and nobody else, and you go to the Hall of Fame. Okay, well, you're just not going to retire
and
any numbers.
I also think that, you know, and it's hard to quantify, like, what would equal what here in the modern era in the NBA, winning a title versus back when the Celtics won a million of them, when you consider just the landscape of the league, the number of teams. Again, not trying to diminish how many titles guys like Sam and Casey Jones won.
Right.
But I think winning now is a little bit different. I don't know if it's 5-1 or 3-1 or however you would want to do it. But and you also look at where they were the 2 years before they got Kevin Garnett. They were one of the worst teams. They were the second worst team in the league the year before. Everybody was praying for Greg Oden or Kevin Durant. Didn't fall their way. So they went from one of the worst teams in the league to a 66-win title team where he was the best player. Like, he has a really good case, but I think the 6 years, the fact that he was on the Timberwolves longer, the overall numbers aren't exactly gaudy. Like, he wasn't a 20-10 guy anymore.
He was a defensive player of the year.
He was that. He 100% was that, but that, you know, doesn't show up in the box score.
He went through the pizza line first, always.
I mean, I gave the example of Dennis Johnson. He got here at age 29.
Mm-hmm.
After the first half of his career, he split between Seattle and Phoenix. His scoring numbers dropped when he came here.
Yeah.
He went from 15 points a game to 12 points a game.
Yeah, right.
Now, his assist numbers doubled.
Right.
Obviously, as you said, he had other guys here. They win championships in 84 and 86. That's not retirement number territory for me. That just doesn't.
Probably not. Another really great defensive player, too, if you want to throw that in there.
He was, absolutely.
Like, but I also see some of it, I think, is subjective because.
Well, in the Celtics' case, it was almost all subjective. If Red liked you and wanted your number retired, it was going up.
Yeah,
right. Jim Leskatoff has no right having his number retired based on his career, but Red appreciated him, liked what he brought, the edge that he brought to those championship teams, and said, damn it, we're putting his number up.
And by subjectivity, I meant more the Celtics were going to win in the mid-80s, correct?
Yes.
With or without DJ, right? They had somebody by the name of Larry Bird.
They were going to be all right. They're big three.
Now,
right.
The Celtics of the Kevin Garnett era were not going to win without Kevin Garnett. He didn't come in and ride the coattails of a franchise that was already built to win a title. He created the cocktail, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So to me, that's where I say the subjectivity, the short span. Did he join a team that was already, did he KD it?
Yeah, right.
See, to me, KD should never be
A
Warriors Hall of Fame.
I think they said they're going to retire his number, didn't they?
Okay, but they're stupid.
No, I know they are.
Well, if you go somewhere and make him a winner, and it's only 3 years, but you win two titles in 3 years, I think you can make a stronger argument.
I mean, I love me some Ray Bourque, but the fact that his number is retired by the Colorado Avalanche is a joke.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That's a team with not a long
ridiculous
history, and they just,
So why don't, I was just looking, like, the Celtics don't have a Celtics team Hall of Fame.
So that's a good point.
Like, the Patriots have gone to this whole, we have a team Hall of Fame.
Which is, yeah.
It allows you to, the real greats get in, Tom Brady will get in, Bill Belichick will get in, but so does Kevin Falk and Matt Light, and it's just a museum, and you're
that's
all.
Just it. You would never retire Troy Brown's number, but he is 100% in your team Hall of Fame.
He epitomizes and team Hall of Fame.
And that's why I think what happened is, some of the teammates of Russell, it's like you can't ignore how many rings that they also have. And then so they end up getting
thanks
in there.
Thanks to him.
Yeah, well, very much so, in large part because of him. And that's why, you know, I'm like, I don't, it's too many guys. And they should be honored because, again, that you're on a lot of winning teams. But, you know, the LA Lakers, who also have a lot of numbers up there, but they're more of like the obvious Hall of Fame guys. Like, they're not saying, oh, the Kobe and Shaq teams won three titles, but we're not going to also put in, you know, Ty Lue, Derek Fisher, and Devin George. Right. Like, we're gonna leave it with these two because they're the guys who won it.
I mean, the obvious question when you say you're going to retire Kevin Garnett's number, and Wick Grosbeck said after the game, they knew in 2008 they were going to retire his number.
Why not?
Why not Ray Allen?
Oh, he does not deserve to be up there at all.
I don't think so either. My point is, based on...
Not the same impact. He was never All-NBA with the Celtics. He wasn't... I don't think he made as many All-Star games with the Celtics. He was...
Wasn't he a critical part of winning a championship
He had a really good finals, and he was the third best player on the team.
Right.
That, I think, you're getting into that conversation of, all right, Russell and Cousy. All right, who else? Let's get these other guys in here. And it was only
plus
one.
Plus, he left under somewhat ugly circumstances.
And I think it's fair to hold that against him, too. And so he was here even less time.
Right.
So I'd be no on him. And even a guy, too, who played longer with the Celtics, and I think was really good, and we kind of sleep on it a little
Dino
bit.
Dino Raja.
Was Rondo. Oh. Rondo was great here. Rondo had a better Celtics career than Ray Allen did. But
you're not advocating for him to have his number.
I'm saying neither should.
Well, yeah. I'm saying Rondo.
But I'm saying if anybody even mentions Ray Allen, I would say Rondo has a better chance. Well, but
if
I would,
either of those even get two minutes in a meeting, then I wouldn't. What are we doing here?
I mean, we could easily, between us, and we'd get people who disagree, we could come up with five of the 23 numbers that the Celtics have retired that should just be taken down, to use Rich's term.
Yeah.
I mean, love Satch Sanders. So does everybody else.
Yeah.
He was named an NBA All-Defensive Second Team for 68-69. That'll get your number up in the rafters, won't it?
Yeah.
It's a different time, Dale.
It was a different time.
And it was Red loved the guy. Red said he was crucial. When we were doing this, we were doing that. Put his number up. And by the way,
well, what is it now?
Red's number is retired, quote unquote. He doesn't have a number.
Right.
But they retired his number two for Red.
So nine Celtics were named all NBA first team in their careers for the Celtics.
Okay.
Nine total. One of them is Ed Sadowski in the 47-48 season.
Not familiar with his work.
Yeah, I mean, so you got him.
Dale, you called his games. It's a little disrespectful.
Ed McCauley did it in the 50s, right? So, I mean, you're talking about some of the older guys, but Garnett's one of those guys on that list, and clearly the most recent in doing it in the modern era.
So you said Wick made the comment that we
After the game, yeah. I saw an interview that Wick did where he said, we knew we were going to retire his number in 2008.
So
in other words, we got all swept up in an NBA title, and damn it, we're going to retire his number.
Well, to be fair, they waited a while to make sure it was not an emotional decision.
No, and I also thought you could have waited until the team was bad. And
that's my whole
thing.
Theory.
I
do know why they did it last night.
Why?
Because Doc was in the building. You know, it's a national TNT game. The tie-ins here.
Yeah, I guess.
It made sense in that regard.
To me, it kind of... It's like you're taking a little bit away from this team, which we're all on board this team, and not that it affected them clearly. I'm not saying that it would do that, but it's just it takes your attention a little bit away from how good Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker and this team are against one of the other best teams in the league.
Maybe it's a motivational tool.
Maybe.
This is what happens when you achieve the goal. You guys want to see your number up there? Yeah. Win a title, and you'll have your number up
there.
Win
a title and play for 6 years with the team, and you're up there.
Well, hopefully more than that with, like, Tatum.
I mean, Tatum and Brown are probably going to be up there, and Kemba, if they win, and Gordon Hayward.
Can't wait
till
the day where everybody's wearing like 89, 90, 91.
It's gonna be gross.
I mean, that's what you're going to be left with.
Yeah,
but you
like
can't
it.
Unretire him, and I don't really believe you can even change the system.
I think you can reissue him.
That's unretire. Reissue it.
Unretire.
What are you, a politician? You put a different word on the same thing.
The way the Maple Leafs do it.
I think it would be really cool, though.
You're still wearing it. But you got a little patch on your jersey that says, hey, this is an honored number.
Yeah, but when you hung it up, you said, this will never be worn by a Boston Celtic again.
Well, you lied.
And then the Bruins hauled their number out of the rafters to give it to LaPointe, Gila Point.
Yeah.
He wore number 5 when he was with the Canadians, so they let him wear number 5, even though it was hanging up there in the rafters.
But don't you think it would be a cool moment where you have Don Nelson's family out there, and you literally are pulling the rope down, here comes the jersey, and you reissue it to him, you're like, all right, here you go, take this home, hang it wherever you want, somebody else can wear 19 or whatever the hell number he was. Like,
check
there
screen
we go.
Here.
There's plenty of guys that really don't deserve it,
yeah.
And he could issue some real numbers. These are the numbers that are retired. 00, 1, 2, 3, 6, 10, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Oh, and by the way, 5 is now. Add 5 in there, too.
Like
those, like, every number under 35
Celtics
and under
Keno.
Is gone.
Like, a game of Keno with
like,
their
I understand that they wanted to honor the first owner of the team. That's great. But why do you have to retire number 1? And I don't know if anybody would want to wear it, but
of course they would. Course.
In this day and
popular,
age,
one's
so,
a very
so the modern
number.
Generation. Dale,
yeah. Nobody yeah. can wear 1 because Walter Brown founded the team back in 1946. Nobody can wear number 2
yeah. one,
because Red
two.
Auerbach was, you know, a great general manager.
Did they retire anything in honor of Ordway? Is there anything up there for him?
Well, there's
a
microphone in a box which he can claim was
that's
for him.
Johnny Most.
Well, yeah, that's what his. We think
that's
too.
Johnny.
They didn't do anything for Len Bias either, right?
No.
You mentioned Reggie Lewis.
Yeah,
who
but he
played
never
for them.
Right.
Right.
He actually
no,
never
no.
played.
Yeah, they may have retired his number.
Well,
they
I was
may
wondering.
Have, we may have missed it. It's everybody. It's insane. And they've had a lot of great players. They're one of they're probably the best franchise in the history of the NBA. But it's just a little overkill. And I think it goes back to Andy's point. It got to the they didn't realize that they could just do a team Hall of Fame
right.
and honor guys that way, which is really the smart way. And then it's an even more special honor. No, like Larry Bird, no brainer. Bill Russell, no brainer. Like, they have plenty of no brainers. It'd still be more than most teams. It'd
sure.
be like them and the Lakers. They'd be the most teams, but not all these guys. It's a
that's why
silly.
I like the Hall of Fame measure. If you made the baseball, football, okay, your number can be retired. You're one of the greatest. Not that played for us. You're one of the greatest that ever played any game.
Right.
And that's how I would do it. But
yep,
I don't know how you can I don't think you can
it's unlikely
let the rope
for
back
to,
up.
Yeah, wouldn't yeah. what a cool moment, though, and like a little highlight reel of
I'm
a nice
sure
bounce
cool.
pass that Don Nelson made.
The poor
but
families.
Yeah.
Because that's, the issue, you know some of them, Dale, more than I. To me, they're just names. Bob D and the guys that have jerseys
right,
retired for the
right.
Patriots from the 60s. Like,
Gino.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what are we doing here?
Some of these guys, it's unbelievable. And if you go look at some of their stats, too, it's like, what on earth were they thinking?
It was a different game, Rich. It was a different game at that time.
Yeah, it was a different game. You had guys averaging 25 rebounds and 50 points, and then this guy averages 8 points. And they're like, oh, but he was a really important part of the squad.
Well, we liked him. Red liked him.
I have, coincidentally, the first Celtics game I ever saw live in my life, my friend's parents drove us down. We saw the game. We came down to see Pete Maravich play. It was the night they Ooh. Retired Jim Luskatov's.
Oh, was it really?
We didn't even know. We had no idea. We were going to see Pete Maravich, who was my favorite player ever. And that was just coincidentally the night. Now, I had no idea who Jim Luskatov was.
I still don't.
I was a kid. I had no idea. And probably most Celtics fans today couldn't tell you much about Jim Luskatov.
But they know Kevin Garnett.
That doesn't necessarily make it right to retire number 5.
You wouldn't?
I would not.
So Fitzy and Dale, very much against Kevin Garnett.
But I think if they
love Kevin Garnett.
If they set a regular standard, like a normal standard, I probably would not. But based on what they've done, I would.
Agreed.
Okay.
But I even think he's on the fence for a tougher standard.
He's right there on the
Hall of Famer.
Right.
He's 100% a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
And as I said, set a culture to win a title, changed the course of the franchise.
That's huge.
You can
even
give him credit for the way he was traded away.
If they won that second title, it'd be so much easier to put him in there.
But at least he went.
The one title. Yeah, they had two
And
trips.
I'll tell you why I think the Celtics waited until now, because he's going in the Hall of Fame next year. This is the year he's going into the Hall of Fame. So he'll have his Hall of Fame induction in September.
Mm-hmm.
They'll retire his number after that. I mean, timing-wise, I understand. I even understand the announcement last night with, you know, Doc's in the building and national game, all of that. But I just wouldn't retire his number.
And it's the Celtics.
Put
his name up there. Come on. No more Glenns in the Celtics organization.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We got a bunch of stuff we're going to get to. Michael Irvin, we think.
Fingers crossed on Irvin joining us.
Once he figures out who it is he's talking to and what happened last time he talked to us, hey, he might not join us again.
He is responsible for the words that he says.
I joke.
They're legit. Just still talking about it, too. Some of the shows are still talking about it.
Well, they're still talking about Christian for crying out loud. Michael Irvin was a sports story.
Christian made Fox News and all those things. He took it to a new level.
Attaboy,
the president was watching Christian on Fox News. Think about that.
Vodka cranberry.
That is true.
We will do our Kiefer Madness Week in Review coming up at 12:30. We got a bunch of stuff we're going to get to. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
How does Rich Keefe celebrate a Celtics win?
God. You needed a shower and a cigarette after that play, didn't you?
I lit up a Virginia Slims 120.
He's naked the rest of the night.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Tatum off a drive.
He was incredible. He made every right play. He made every big shot. Yeah, man, he was the best player on the court tonight.
Tatum spins away.
I tell you what, that move works. I use it quite a bit.
Defend your title for the skills competition?
Yeah, I'm going to get a win on Saturday, and then I'm going to retire from the skills competition.
Get a win and retire.
Yeah, he's above the skills competition. He's going to be a guy that just plays in the All-Star games going forward. Front row, taking pictures of the dunk contest, yeah. You know, jumping into your friends. That's going to be the future of Jason Tatum. He doesn't need to be doing skills competitions anymore.
What do you think about guys playing in both the All-Star game and the Futures All-Star?
I love it because you only have 2 years, obviously, to play in that. So if you're Trae Young or Luka Doncic.
It's kind of weird.
They've been doing it for years. I think even LeBron did it. They've called it different things. They've had different formats of it. But I love it because I think you really showcase the young stars in the league. And then oftentimes there's overlap. And you're both a rookie or a second-year guy that also is in the All-Star game. So I have no problem with it.
I don't feel passionately about it. And maybe you sold me on it. It just sort of struck me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't like it.
I don't really. Initially, I didn't. My reaction was they shouldn't be.
Why?
It's like the kid playing in the JV game and the varsity
game. Exactly.
Let somebody else play in the JV game.
No. But if you're a rookie, only time to play in the rookie sophomore game would be for those 2 years.
But people would understand that you could have played in it if you wanted to.
If Zion Williamson had been healthy all season long, we said he'd be an all-star this weekend. Fairly confident that he'd be an all-star. So I don't think he should play in the Futures game and play in the All-Star game.
Why not? I think
Dale. Screw you,
Keith. But it's a showcase of the young stars, and now you're taking, I think they do rosters of 10. So you're taking the 20 best guys from the last two draft classes, and if three or four of those guys are now playing in the real game, well, now we're kind of scraping it a little bit.
Right.
And now we're taking a guy who's averaging like 6 points a game. You're like, hey, you're in this game now, too. It's like,
but give him a chance. Why not?
He's had a whole chance. He could, if he was better, he'd be in the game. He already would have been selected.
If we understand that you made the All-Star game. You could have been in this rookie game and Young Stars game. Yeah, it's like I said. You don't get to play JV. You 35 in JV and then score 26 in the varsity game the next
year. That would occasionally happen. And what would happen is the guy would score 35 in the JV game, and he'd play the last 30 seconds of the varsity game.
Oh, I'm fine
sort of
with that.
That sort of thing would happen.
But these guys might not. Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's impacting two players, so it's not even that big of a deal. And I just think it's cool.
Tell me what's a big deal.
But then you see those guys playing, with their draft class, and you just get to sit and watch. And again, it's a game where there's even less defense than the All-Star game. They just run up and down. It's all threes and alley-oops anyway. But you just see them on the court, and at one point you're going to see Trae Young playing with Zion Williamson and Ja Morant against Luka Doncic. Like, I don't know. I think as an NBA fan, that's cool to see them all on the court together.
So we have a texter who brings up, because we were mentioning Christian Fourier being on Fox News.
Yes.
We have a texter who brings up an interesting point. We criticize Kellerman and Parker, but that's exactly the type of stuff that got Christian on Fox News. He gave an opinion. And yet it became viral and blew up, and Fox News, and it was running over my shoulder an hour ago.
Kellerman and those guys weren't teammates with Brady.
No, I understand, but they say something that on its face to us sounds outrageous, especially Parker. We don't even like to play Rob Parker stuff
anymore. No, I wouldn't even talk about him, but I'm just saying with the Fourier thing, it's different because the way that it was either tweeted out or relayed to these other places, they missed the whole thing about it being his opinion.
Right.
And they were like, they just sort they latched onto a quote.
He was pretty
and then
clear.
With it.
We played the quote. He said, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
And yet they turned that into, the Patriots have no interest in bringing Tom Brady.
Because I don't think Kellerman or Stephen A. Smith really ever break news, and that's not their job. And so you kind of go under the impression this is their idea, and if they think Tom Brady is done, that's just their opinion. So it's not going to get picked up by all these other places. We might play it and say we disagree. But with the Fourier thing, everybody wants the latest on Tom Brady. We don't know, and we probably won't know for another month, like anything real.
Right.
But we're all just picking together. We're picking up the pieces. And you hear Christian Fourier, you're like, all right, Boston radio, former teammate of Tom Brady, played for the Patriots, all that stuff. You're like, all right, we're going to run with it. And that's a real 100% chance he's done with the Pats. We're rolling with this.
I would say it's similar to when Schefter kind of started this all back in during the season. And everybody hears Schefter speak. And when you hear Schefter speak, it's usually information.
You believe it, right?
And then you're like, wait a minute. Is this that you think the least likely scenario of him returning to the Patriots? I believe that was Schefter's first sort of bombshell. Is that news or is that Adam Schefter's opinion?
Yeah, I don't think anybody, to be honest, nobody really wants Adam Schefter's opinion on anything, right? Like, aren't you just looking for...
And you almost never get it, even.
Yeah, you don't get it.
Although his opinion would be informed, it would be...
Well, that's just it. It's his opinion. You don't even think... It's like you've put yourself in a position now where all you do is break news. Similar to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Woj, what do you think about this? It's like, no, what are you hearing about this?
Right.
And
Schefter has even said over the years on this very station, on the morning show, whatever, I don't really give opinions. I tell you what I hear. He has even said that.
Yeah.
So now if you are telling me Tom Brady, the least likely scenario is him returning to the Patriots, I assume you've heard from somebody that you think is a semi-reliable source that the least likely scenario.
It happened on this show a week ago today with Michael Irvin.
Yes.
Michael Irvin never said he spoke to Jerry Jones.
No, he didn't.
Yet that's how it was portrayed in a lot of places.
Including us. I believe we joked after he left the air. Was that person Jerry Jones?
I'm convinced that it was.
Well, we were guessing who he was talking about.
Right.
We didn't say, he was talking to Jerry Jones. We don't know. Didn't say.
And that's just it. When it comes to, so Adam Schefter and the news guys, like, Ken Rosenthal, they're sort of in that one department. And Fourier and Michael Irvin normally aren't, but certain subjects they are. So if Michael Irvin's asked about the Cowboys...
You mean when Fourier says that Chara's Dunsky not going to play?
You sort of want to see that one play out first.
Okay.
But if Fourier has something on Brady, or if Michael Irvin has something on the Cowboys,
you think,
you're like,
okay, there's something going on.
It's got to be more than just, one of us sort of rolling in and being like, this is how I feel it's all going to play out. And so that's why both of those, it's not a surprise to me that both of those have really took on a life of their own, because those guys probably know something.
And if Artrell Hawkins, who's sort of in the media, he's on Twitter, like if he says something about the Patriots, you're like, well, or Ross Tucker. Well, yeah, he played a little time there.
Yeah.
But then if
like a
Rob Gronkowski says something, or like a career Patriot, you're like, whoa. Like,
yeah, what are these
guys
know?
He rubs elbows with Belichick, Kraft. He knows something.
Mm-hmm.
Artrell Hawkins might have one connection, but he's really just giving you an opinion as a guy who's in the media now. And no offense, but I assume that's what Christian is. He caught touchdowns from Tom Brady. None of us in this room can say that.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I also think he's just giving his opinion on a situation that pretty much everyone else on the planet has given their opinion.
But he also said, I think.
Right. But I don't always believe that.
But then
like
it got
Michael Irvin.
Into.
Do you believe Michael Irvin didn't talk to somebody in the Cowboys?
Oh, no, I think he did.
Yeah, me too.
But what I don't know is that it was Jerry Jones, which is
right.
how it got portrayed in the
but
media.
But that's what people are doing with Christian. He says it's his opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he
but
knows something.
No, it's not.
Brady told him.
Both of those guys know something, but there's always a chance that it doesn't play out that way, right? Like,
yes.
I don't think Brady even knows right now exactly where he's going to
nope.
go. So hard to 100% rule out or in any of the teams.
Right. And then Scott, when you add your guy, Wiggy, saying the
another guy played touchdowns with him,
yeah. saying
he's
still
the exact over rocks.
Opposite yeah. thing that he's 100% going
yeah,
to return.
Right. He's not talking
now
to
the
anybody.
Water is, we can't even see.
I mean, Scott Pioli, who you know spent a number of years here as Bill Belichick's right-hand man, kind of talked about it a bit on a podcast where he said it's actually kind of amusing now to see people not talking to Tom Brady, not talking to Don Yee, at least as far as we know, and yet theorizing, well, he's going to go there. He's going right. he's
well,
going to do this.
But
he's
we all
he's
do
gone.
It.
He's leaving.
You have to, though. It's the biggest story going. So you have to. You can't ignore it because you don't have enough information. Not with
right.
this one, you can't.
Right. And these connections are inherent in the business, and we all have them in our mind. Like, we remember the whole Jamie Collins, Mike Lombardi comes on this station and is sort of ripping Jamie. Oh, well, if Lombardi's doing it, that's how Bill feels, right?
Right.
He's Bill's right-hand man. He's been his guy. I call him Fobbs, friend of Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
They're all Fobbs. Well, I assume you haven't. If Pioli says something, I assume he might have an
well,
informed opinion.
Yeah, there's certain guys, and then what happens is you assume it's who they're talking to, and it's not. Like, is it John Heyman that everything he gets, you assume is Scott Boras?
Yes.
Yeah.
But maybe
pretty
not.
Much.
But there might be a story that's not Boras, but
right.
you still assume it. Like, oh, well, I got that from Boras.
Right.
Like, well, I don't know, fair or unfair, you just sort of associate certain guys with certain, you know, where they're getting their info from.
Even locally with Mike Reese.
100%.
If Mike Reese reports something, I'll put my mortgage on it. Mike Reese is really good. But
going
if Mike
back
Reese.
To the days of Will McDonough, when Will wrote
yes,
something.
Yeah, it was there. It was
I said, okay, this is gospel.
I
even
just
if he
out.
Presented it as opinion. I knew that he
right.
had something.
But I would just like those people to really bang us over the head with, this is my opinion. This is not an informed opinion. I'm throwing it against the wall just out of the pit of my
stomach.
But so
Fourier does that, but then at the same time then goes back to, but I'm not getting this from nowhere. Right? He's like,
right.
this is my opinion, this is my opinion, this is my opinion. But, oh, by the way, like, I didn't just drive in and think of it.
Right.
So you're like, all right, so now I'm back to...
I drove in and
sorry.
Somebody called me
yeah,
and told me to
right.
think of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Here's what... This is a direct quote from Scott Pioli, who is talking about this. He said, quote, what's going to happen with Tom? I don't know. It's so funny. Every day I open up the internet and there's this new story and I'm watching how many people are getting traction out of Tommy's life and his story. Christian, it's just so funny how every last thing is put under the microscope and how much people want to speculate. Me too, by the way.
Oh, it's
when
fun.
When I come on the air here and said, you know, I've heard that as many as 11 teams have expressed an interest. Now, I didn't just make that up. I didn't throw it against the wall.
Right.
But that's, to Pioli's point, that's me speculating based on Tom's life and where he's going to end up playing.
It's also even harder here with Bill Belichick involved. Because when Bill Belichick's involved, nothing is coming from Bill Belichick directly, correct? You're not getting, they're not
so.
Whispering, they're not saying so. Things. Let me give you a Scott Pioli little story, little side story cool. here. Back in Andy Hart's PR days with the New England Patriots, one of my duties was pass out daily clips because they read everything. I don't know if you know that. They read absolutely.
Oh, no, they ignore the noise.
There's local, there's national.
Ignore the noise.
So I dropped clips on Scott Pioli's desk and he picks it up. He goes, I love it when there's things in here that I know for sure aren't going to happen. And I'm not going to tell you the details. What it said on that clip happened the very next day. So you know what that tells me?
He didn't know.
Bill Belichick decided what was in that was going to happen, and even Scott didn't know, right? So when you're working with Bill Belichick, there's just a layer there of he's the guy who's going to decide. I don't know whether he's deciding Tom is back or Tom isn't back or what he feels, but I don't think there's anybody else on the planet. I don't even think Linda knows. Do you think Linda knows? You think when they're, because they're in, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, they're apparently in the Virgin Islands. They're enjoying boats and beers. And
nice. Good for them. So he's not negotiating with Tom Brady is what you're saying.
No, he's not.
Although there are phones, maybe.
Yeah, it is. It's a digital world, Dale.
Yeah.
But do you think, you know, they're having a beer on the beach? Does he say, look at this. They think we're going to sign Brady. The suckers. I don't think he even tells her. I'm not sure he knows.
My guess is, well, A, he probably doesn't know how it's going to end up.
Because he doesn't know what Tom can get on the market.
How much do you share of things that, like you said, aren't done yet?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a layer to this, too. It might be different if this were, you know, Mike Lombardi running a team somewhere. And I think Mike Lombardi likes to talk. And I think he has friends in the
kidding.
Media. Yes. This is Bill Belichick. So, and I don't think Brady shares a lot either. I think Brady's become a pretty private guy in his life and doesn't necessarily whisper to a lot of people.
Until this offseason, suddenly he's everywhere.
You know, he's going to market himself.
Play
Dale.
The game.
He's not going anywhere. I know that because he sold that line for a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Hulu guy now.
Yeah, is he?
He just met football.
You think he ever watches Hulu?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think he's a big TV guy. I don't think he's a TV or a movie
although
guy.
Although I'll tell you where I think he might become a Hulu guy.
Oh, big Mark.
Tom versus Time 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, Dale, you devious one.
That might actually be part of this whole thing. 617-779.
Is that an opinion, or do you know that?
An opinion. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Heart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hulu doesn't just have live sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, WEEI presents Cooking Tips with Dale Arnold.
It's a bad plan to boil a dead cat that you haven't gutted yet.
Dale and Keefe on EEI.
Truth. I mean, simple truth. You can't argue with that. So we were talking about Tom Brady and Hulu and the big Super Bowl commercial that captured the attention of the world. And I read on Twitter people saying, you know, I was at a Super Bowl party. When that came on, the room went silent. Because it sort of sounded at the beginning like he was announcing his retirement.
If you thought he was going to retire during a commercial, you're a moron.
No, I did not. But there are some who...
What if you thought he was going to announce he's staying during a commercial? You still a moron?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we were saying, you know, do you think... Rich brought up the very valid question. Do you think Tom sits around the house with, you know, Giselle and the kids saying, well, what's on Hulu tonight, honey?
I don't.
And I don't either. So you're thinking, all right, so why is he doing a commercial for Hulu? And what I'm suggesting is... There might be another part of this whole thing where Tom versus Time 2, however you want to refer to it,
mm-hmm.
he and Gautam Chopra basically said to Hulu, part of this whole deal is we'll put together another one of these things. And wouldn't it be something if it was the recruitment of Tom Brady?
Would you advise that?
Depends on how it's presented.
I would not advise it regardless of how it's presented.
No chance.
I would not do a decision to, like you were talking about.
I feel like
the recruitment where you're on the private plane with Tom as he's flying to Nashville to meet with Mike Vrabel.
Fair. I think how they do it is obviously very important. But if, would you plan on giving, for lack of a better word, your decision during this thing?
No,
because you cannot do it that way.
No.
That would be, unless it's, I'm coming back to the Patriots, I guess, because that was LeBron's biggest issue. If LeBron did that whole thing, I think a lot of people still would have ripped him, but if he just said, I'm going back to Cleveland, you're like, it would have been a sigh of relief for the whole state of Ohio, and everybody would have moved on with their lives. But when he out of nowhere, and he's like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, like, he lost so many people from that moment, and no matter what he does going forward, you're like, you still did that.
And so would Brady.
He 100%. Would
lose. Is it 20%, 30%? Some portion of his fan base would turn on him.
But what I'm saying is not that, unless he's coming back to New England, not the decision, the recruitment of Tom Brady.
But if you do the recruitment and you don't, you announce it through, like, I don't know, Sports Illustrated or Schefter right. or whatever you happen to do, right?
And because Players Tribune.
Somebody's going to have to announce it. Or even if you do it on Instagram, like, I don't know how you're going to do it. Besides, you know, Jim Gray and actually, you know what? It could be the decision too with Jim Gray all
it
over
won't
again.
Be no. good.
But I think if you do that whole thing and say it's a three-part thing and he's talking about the
you
pitch
think Hulu
that the Raiders
wouldn't love to
Hulu
put that.
Patriots fans, we talked about how if Tom Brady plays somewhere else, 90% of Patriots fans will blame Kraft and Belichick and not Brady. If he does a whole special yes. about talking with Gruden and talking with Anthony Lynn and talking with Vrabel, Patriots fans would turn on him.
That will get closer to 50-50. Yes. Well, he will lose.
Unless at the end of the whole thing, he announces he's coming back to the Patriots.
That's the only way work. That's the only way it would work in New England.
I also think there would be some ill will from the teams he visited in that way. You know, I said...
Right, we made fun of Antonio Brown for doing a song about the Saints.
It's a circus. Yeah. It's a sideshow. It's this. Oh, Tom Brady does it? It's business.
Yeah.
It's,
he has a film crew.
Right. And I think it would become racial. Just like they like to ask, you know, when Gronk does something, why is that okay?
Yeah.
Somebody else does it, it's a bad thing. I think this would become a racial issue.
When we think back to
it's
Tom
It's also
versus-
cheap. What's the point? Like, does Tom need the money?
No.
Like,
no,
what
no.
do you get... But my guess is he would get equity in Hulu.
Well, wait a minute. So did he need to do Tom versus Time?
No,
but that
I think
felt
he was,
more like art.
This doesn't
art?
Feel like
it felt
art.
Like art to
it felt
you?
More like
that
art.
Aggressive that massage
no,
by
was,
Alex.
Yeah, that was art. Well, that was
yeah,
art.
That is
I'll
art.
Take one.
That's
one
a form of art.
Yeah. No, that was a look at me. This is like I've been not out in the public eye maybe as much as I want to be, or this is something I could control. I've been on this team that they don't really want us to do a lot of things like this, and you know what? Screw it. I have to the point where I am going to make this.
But the
I mean,
Hulu
you don't do
thing,
a movie or a 6-part documentary series during the season.
Documentaries are art,
which you release during the Super Bowl that you're in. If it isn't a hey, look at me.
40 is just a number.
And
but I'll say this.
Right. Yeah,
it was brilliantly done.
Yes,
and it was must see TV. I don't know about the rest of the country, but in New England, it was like, oh my god,
right.
when's the next episode?
But isn't it different
out?
if your theory were right? This started as a tease on Instagram with a photo.
Right.
Whole, oh, is he going in? Is he going out? Oh, this, that, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just black and white. It means I'm classic, like black and white photos. You lied. You completely lied to us.
Yeah,
it's a Hulu ad. So the Hulu ad would lead into this Hulu show, which then we'll later find out Brady got, you know, 3% of the Hulu,
right.
Hulu company as
right.
part of the deal. Whereas I know it was a Facebook Live or Facebook,
yeah,
whatever
Facebook
they called
Watch,
it. Facebook
it
Watch.
Called. Yeah.
But it didn't feel
we
like
had to
it
figure
was,
out how to watch
right.
it. I've
never
first.
Seen
it
anything
like,
on there before.
What do we do here?
But it didn't feel like it was bought and paid for and sold. It didn't feel this will feel dirty because he already did the Super Bowl ad leading
yeah,
into this.
No, that's
it'll
true.
Feel weird.
I do feel they didn't it wasn't ridiculous, but I also think Tom V Time was a TB12 kind of pitch. Also.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so that was another reason to do it outside right. of
Julian.
Well,
you,
we got a
well,
few
you
extra
did
bucks.
Bench. What a
no,
loser.
Yeah, right. It's sort of that and all the rub downs. He didn't need all the rub downs there.
Well, he likes them.
Wasn't pliability one of the. Like, there was, like, 6 parts, and wasn't one of them, like,
oh, I'm
pliability
sure.
or something.
Remember the criticism? The coast-to-coast...
Isn't it weird that you guys mock me for being, like,
we just mock
out of touch?
No, just mock
Did you see Tom's, like, the moose eating right outside his window? He's apparently in...
Montana?
Yeah.
He's got a new picture that just went out, like, a minute ago.
It's a Hulu logo.
On Twitter.
Commerce time, too.
Of Giselle nibbling on his ear.
Excuse me.
Hi, I'm Tom Brady.
I'm just telling you what
Happy
I'm looking
Valentine's
at.
Valentine's
Did you
Day
see the moose photo,
me.
Though? Right outside the window.
I did not see that
Look
one.
Look who's joining moose. Breakfast or
By the way,
or
when Giselle is nibbling on his ear, he's got a TB12 stocking cap on.
And he's no longer pliable.
What? Really?
What? Goes out the window. My forever Valentine is the caption. How about that? That's nice.
Here's
nice
how bad. Here's how
you
weird it's gotten from
that.
A Tom Brady perspective. An Instagram photo of Giselle eating cake and Tom with an empty fork causes people to write articles.
Yeah.
Wait, Tom eats chocolate cake now?
He's a Go ahead, keep eating it, fat boy.
He's a popular guy.
Do we know it was even chocolate cake? Like, it looks like chocolate cake, but in this day and age,
oh,
they
no,
can do a lot
and
with
Giselle
vegetables.
Said it.
And
she said, the caption was, Giselle posted the photo, Breakfast of Champions. Seriously, Mayasa, I assume that's the name of the company. We can't stop eating your cake.
Right, but it could be made out of who knows what. Eggplant ground into
oh,
this.
Oh, you can make a healthy cake.
Yeah.
Probably tastes like
tastes
poison.
Like
By
terrible.
The way, he says all the time, he eats other things.
Then why is his fork not dirty, Dale?
He didn't have that. There's a whole article about that.
Yeah.
Fork's not
an
dirty, Dale.
An article about
if it doesn't fit,
does
you must
Tom
not
Brady
eat, it.
Eat chocolate cake or is he fooling all of us? An investigation.
No boy.
Oh.
But circling back to the idea of a Tom versus Time 2, I think you really need to thread the needle if you're going to not piss off a lot of people.
Does he care? He should have known he was going to piss people off with the photo / Super Bowl ad.
There are people who are pissed off now.
Don't right. you think he's going to... good point.
This is where I think he's having a little midlife crisis and he likes all the attention.
He's going to get a lot of attention.
He sits back and goes...
Well, he's always going to get attention, but if he leaves the Patriots, is it important to him if Patriots fans still like him? I would think it would be because for 20 years...
I hope so.
It's been a part of like your life. And everybody loves you, and I think there is a scenario where he could go somewhere else and people would still like him. In fact, I think that's the most likely scenario.
We took a lot of those calls early on.
If
he plays the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I'm rooting for Tom.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
But you do it.
This has gone forward, though, I think there are a lot of people who are pissed off at him now. Who, you know, and I mean rabid Patriots fans who are saying, you know what, I'm out. Just go. You know, just be done with it and go. We get a lot of it.
Small percentage, though. And they're frauds, they'll all come back. If he says, I'm announcing that I'm playing for the Patriots for two more years, they're back.
I think also it's the buildup, and it's just every day. And, like, people just want a decision, right, one way or the other. Yeah. And they're just getting sick of all the speculation, right.
Which
I understand.
That's a little bit of sort of the Gronk thing. Now what are you doing to me? Why do you keep doing this?
Yeah.
Just give me a decision or go quiet.
Right.
Go dark and talk to me on March 18th.
I have a very special announcement coming up tomorrow at 8 a.m. on my Instagram.
Like, if he starts doing anything with, like, if we get to the 15th, the 16th, and it's like he just puts out a tweet with googly eyes or three
emojis.
Logo emojis where you're like, what does this mean?
Eggplant.
That could be L.A.
They're worried about
slicing with a sword.
You know,
no problem.
There's an X. That means he's at LAX. He's landing because he's going to the... If that happens...
Oh, there's
going to
be a lot of internet detectives figuring out where he's going.
And the airplane following him,
numbers. Like yeah, he's going
to
like
I think he likes it more now than ever because he didn't...
Yeah.
He didn't get to lap it up for a long period of his career. That's my theory. Have I told you the working theory that the midlife crisis that
I like it.
He was too, you know, the preacher's daughter, buttoned up.
It's all
about winning, and Belichick says do this and focus on this. Now he's kind of just enjoying screwing with people in the Gronk life.
And I think also this is where, like, the Giselle angle comes in where, a couple of years ago, she probably really wanted him to retire, but now she's like, well, this is actually kind of fun.
Right.
Say this. She is a brilliant marketer who I think has, over the years, kind of dragged him to her way of thinking in terms of marketing. And, you know, he wasn't on social media for a long time. Then he was on Instagram.
Yeah, for
then
sure.
He's on,
right.
You know, then he's on Twitter.
Yep.
Then he's doing this Tom versus Time on Facebook Live.
Then he was in a bikini. It was weird.
Yeah, there
she does.
Well, I mean, between Tom versus Time, hell, maybe even TB12 might not even happen without, not that he wouldn't be doing the same exercises, but I'm talking about the whole thing without
Giselle. I think she's a big part of the marketing of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think her and Alex probably had to convince him that TB12 and the book and the clinic and
we can
sell this, we can take this
national
or international. Well, that's another little theory I have, this game of chicken. You know, like the old-fashioned game of chicken, you watch those movies where they drive the cars at each other
and then somebody has to
swerve.
Yep.
So I have this whole theory.
Or die.
You got to commit.
Double KO.
If you want to commit.
Yeah.
I have this theory that Tom's driving one car. And Bill's driving another, correct? So it's a big game of chicken.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, Jesus, he's interrupting.
Well, don't you want all the details before we really dive into this?
Okay.
Are they both driving the same vehicle?
No. See, I actually wrote this in a new column feature on WEEI.com today.
What's it called?
The Fast Friday 5 or something like that.
Oh, I don't like that.
It's 5 mini columns for the price of one click. That's how I'm selling it. You
five
don't like
mini?
It?
That's a lot of ideas you got to come up with.
I was actually thinking, am I setting a bar I can't keep consistently
it's
for 52
weeks? It's going to be the Fast 4 Friday pretty soon.
It could happen, okay. So in here, I theorized that Bill would have a black Detroit muscle car.
Yeah. I'm thinking like the Mad Max
type
of deal.
Tom's in more of an import.
An Aston Martin?
Yeah, something imported.
But the machine guns come out of the headlights.
That could happen, too.
He's got like the transporter car.
Yeah.
So the theory here is everybody has somebody in the passenger seat. For Tom, it's Giselle, right?
Well, you can't crush a car with Giselle sitting in the front seat.
No, I don't like where this
is going. Just listen,
Dale. Okay.
So, passenger seat for Bill Belichick is Robert Kraft, right?
Mm.
So this game started, they were far away.
Robert doesn't have his own car?
Nope. He's riding in this car. Stop asking questions.
I just want to make sure we have all
What are you, my editor? It's already posted.
Yes. All right, fair
Move
enough.
On.
No, I know, I read it.
No, you didn't. No, it's hurtful.
You didn't
read the headline.
I know, I didn't
that
see it
hurts
today.
More than anything.
I didn't see it today. So anyway, what happens?
So, you got to decide whether to swerve in the game of chicken.
I don't understand how chicken works.
I wonder if Bill Belichick is just hands back, we're going full speed, cruise control. He's not even thinking of swerving.
Not even looking.
Does Robert reach over and swerve out of the way?
You're painting a nice picture here.
The other car, Tom's driving along.
And
he's
Giselle swerves
sweat.
It into the in yes. front of the path.
Brady yes. Brady tries to swerve away, and she grabs it and swerves back in.
Yes, you figured it out.
You like it, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do. Course you nailed it.
Scandalous.
617-779-7937. We'll get to your calls in just a couple of minutes. We will talk to Michael Irvin at about 1:30. 12:30 is Kiefer Madness, our week in review. That whole analogy that Andy just put
it's
out
good one.
Probably won't make it, but
hell?
I don't know. We might re-rack it.
You never know.
Dale, at least my name is Andy Hart.
Huh? Oh, my God.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.